your church and your country in prayers.
Let us now go into a time of scripture reading.
Today's passage is from the book of Psalm, chapter 103, verses 8 to 14.
I will read out loud. Please listen attentively. Verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love.
He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever.
He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us.
As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust.
This is the word of God. Brothers and sisters, please be seated, and we invite Pastor Lee Kai to preach to us the word of God.
Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father, we are here. We want to turn our hearts to you. Your word is spoken. May your word take root in our heart so that we can turn to you. In Jesus' name we pray, Amen.
Today we titled the theme for this sermon is Father's Heart. It's not Father's Day today. It's Family Month this month.
That's why we are celebrating. Last week we talked about moms. This Sunday we talk about Father.
If you can, where's the quote?
Okay, if you can, scan it or join the Mentimeter. There are two questions asked inside. I want you to respond honestly. Okay, scan the Mentimeter, or enter, or type in menti.com and use a code written there. Two questions asked inside. How would you describe your father in one word?
How would you describe your dad?
Your name will not be seen. Over there. So whatever you say is kept in secret.
Okay, whatever you share is anonymous.
So scan it.
Okay, use one word.
Okay, you can see it coming in. Righteous, strong, loving, patient, 不熟啊。
I'm not sure what 不熟 is, what does it mean?
慈祥, athletic, loving, wonderful, generous, old.
I believe you're probably of a certain age, then your parents should be old enough.
父爱如山，powerful Chinese. Okay, all very positive ones, strong, adventurous, naggy.
We have naggy here, sacrificial, unreasonable, grumpy and scary, honorable, boarding.
Boarding. Okay, we'll see. I have a few people in my mind who's boarding the first service.
I hope your parents are not in the first service.
Okay.
What's the facial expression mean?
Handsome.
What spelling is handsome?
Okay, persevere. Rough ears.
Okay, next question.
Okay, please go on to the next question.
The question is asked, how would you, as a child of God, describe your heavenly Father?
Not just intellectual knowledge, not just your recall from your Bible, but how would you feel when you think about your heavenly Father?
The immediate feeling comes to you when you think about heavenly Father.
Comforter, love, gracious, forgiving, personal, loving.
Coming in, all good, great, all the positive side, which is good.
Unconditional love.
I'm talking about not intellectual response. I'm not talking about what you know in your theology.
But I think something comes to your mind when thinking of your father.
You妻父必有妻子.
Wow.
I hope that is a positive sense.
Okay.
Bestie. Wow.
Mountain?
I don't know why mountain.
Keep coming in, come on.
You can write in Chinese, in English is fine.
What do you think about your heavenly father when it comes to your mind?
Okay, great. It sounds quite positive. I'll share mine also. When I think of my dad, my dad is very fun-loving. I remember when I was young, during my birthday, my dad will play happy birthday song using a digital watch to wake me up. After I woke up, he asked me to pick the number. Do you know what it means? There are numbers inside so that he can buy 4D. My birthday, if you know, parents, I'm not sure, maybe your generation. My dad loved to do that. Buy 4D, especially on some special occasion. 4D, that means Toto. Lucky draw. I'm not sure how to explain. Okay, those who are. Okay, then the other memory of my dad. My dad become like a horse on the bed. Let the three children ride on his back. So we just ride on his back to play with him like a horse. So all these are very fond memories of my dad. I did that with my children also. When they are younger. Now, it's a bit difficult for my back to accommodate three growing older. Yeah, all these are very fond memories of my dad. I'm not sure what fond memories you have for your dad also. But I think my dad is the same as most dads. They are not perfect. And there are times I feel that I needed him and he's not there. I needed his listening ears. I'm a bit lost. I feel I need advice. He's not there. And no affirming words. And the thing is, he's not there. I share a story when I was a seminary student. And we have to be attached to different churches to have an assignment there. So we are assigned to preach in a church. So that was my first time preaching in a church. You know, it's never easy to stand on the pulpit to preach when you have hundreds over there below you to listen. That was very anxious and very exciting because that was my first time. I wanted my dad to come and witness my first preaching in the church. My first ever preaching. My dad was tired at the time. He got nothing much to do. Just stay at home. He was also a believer by that time, already received Christ. I invited my dad, told my dad, I'm preaching this first time preaching in church. I never stand out in the pulpit to preach, please come and witness my first preaching. My dad politely declined, and he said that he prefers to stay at home. After preaching, because it was your first time preaching, normally people come and say, encourage you, affirm you. But after I sat down at the corner, I think all this encouragement, I appreciate them, but I think there is a longing to hear from my dad more than anybody else in the church to affirm me. Compared to them, I think my dad's affirming will be very different. I hope my dad will say, hey, well done, I'm proud of you. But he never comes. And he never knows what I preach also. So that is why one thing I really struggle with God is to hear him. To affirm me personally. And there's always question in my heart. Am I doing the right thing? There's always uncertainty. There's always lack of confidence. Always self-doubt, and I just felt I don't have the courage, the bonus to do something because I don't have affirmation from my dad. I'm not sure, am I doing the right thing? Because I never heard my dad tell me, this is what you're doing is right. So I think what goes to the next slide. What A.W. Tozer says is very true. He says that what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes to our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Our view, our perception of God affects every area of our life. It affects our beliefs, our values, our behaviors, our relationships, even your purpose in life. It affects all areas. I want to let you know, I read from the book called Our Experience of Earthly Father, does influence our perception of a Heavenly Father. Let me read to you one in English. He said that if you have an authoritative father, he emphasizes submission over relationships. He insists on doing things his way. He is not interested in the child's ideas, preferences, goals. He doesn't want to have an intimate relationship with children. He just wants them to obey. If a person has such a concept of God, it will trigger rebellion rather than submission. It will affect his view of God.
Second one, if you have an abusive father who deliberately harms children, causing emotional, mental, physical, or sexual harm to them, such relationships destroy children's self-worth and deprive them from their instinct to trust in others. They see themselves as tools for others to use rather than individuals who are highly cared for. Such talk often destroys people's ability to trust God and establish emotional connections with Him. If you have a father who emphasizes on performance, a performance-oriented father, he's like a scorekeeper, keeping track of every miss you made. He believes that in doing so, you can motivate children to do better and make them work harder. He rarely gives encouragement or affirmation to children. This type of father can make people see their heavenly father as an angry judge who has never been satisfied with them. If you have an absent father, not around, probably due to death, divorce, work, or simply indifference, he is absent in the child's life. And that child not only feels abandoned and neglected, but he also feels abandoned and neglected by God. If you have a passive dad who rarely expresses love, he may be responsible for supporting his family, but rarely spends time with his children. He rarely shows emotions or says, I love you. He does not share the joys and sorrows of his children. It is not like an absent father who is not by his child's side. He is there with the child, but he does not communicate with them. Nor does he stand up or lead them or guide them. So this type of father can make people see God as passive and not participating in their daily lives.
Which of your dad fall into the category?
It will affect your view of God. I want to share God as Father being mentioned in the Bible.
If you know, in the Old Testament, commonly the term used for God, you rarely see the word Father to address God.
What we see in the Old Testament more commonly used is Yahweh, appear in 6,000 over time, and Elohim appear in 2,000 over time. The word Father used to mention God, or title over God, is only 11 times.
Very few, very rare.
I think one of the reasons is because Jews during that time, they're very reverent to God.
So reverent in a way that they dare not address God in the full name. They just use abbreviation. So that they will not profane the name of God.
And that's how reverent they are when they see God. When we come to the New Testament,
We see in Matthew, the Synoptic Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, there are 65 times mentioning Father, addressing God as Father.
And over in the Gospel of John, 100 over time,
where Jesus addressed his Heavenly Father using the word Father.
Today, when we come before God, we address Him as our Father. We have to thank Jesus for it.
Because without Jesus, No other religion, even Judaism, can address God as Father in a very personal way that Jesus did.
And the question is to ask, what is God like?
God is a Father with a compassionate heart.
Let's read this verse together. 1, 2, 3.
The Lord is compassionate.
In this whole chapter 103, three times it appears the word compassionate. It is the same root word, the first verse 8 and verse 13 come from the same root word, which means also merciful, gracious, forgiving.
It appears so many times in the Old Testament that this became the creed of answering the question, what is God like?
I share maybe a story to help us understand the concept of how our Father is compassionate.
A story was told that this very young Italian pianist was starting her very first concert in Italy.
Since this was her first concert, she got no reputation, no fame,
And you can hardly invite any new crowd to come.
Because she's very new, newbie in this career.
So she decided to put in the name of a famous piano master from Japan. And say that I'm the student of this piano master.
So they put out the poster, hoping that will draw many crowd to the concert.
Just a week before the concert started, the newspaper reported about this piano master coming to Italy for an interview. This lady was really terrified because if people ask this piano master, do you know that your student is having a concert in Italy?
Her life will be exposed and her reputation will be ruined.
And her whole career will be marked by this stain.
So this lady was so terrified that she decided to come to this piano master one day and confess her mistake.
The piano master said to her, what you did is not right.
You shouldn't use someone's name for your concern.
But because you come to confess your sin,
I want to forgive you. I'm willing to forgive you.
And indeed, the piano master forgiven her.
And not just that, he said to her,
Come, play a piece in front of me.
And I'll give you some advice.
Wow.
That is grace and that's mercy.
He did not punish her for her sins she committed.
She even willingly teach her.
Go extra mile to teach her.
And even beyond that, you know what she says to her?
For your concert, I'll come and play a duet with you in your concert.
How would you feel when this grandmaster forgave our sin, and not just forgave our sin, even extend grace to us to help us?
And not exposing our lie, and help us even bless us, play the concert with us.
And this is what we call abounding love.
The question is to ask, why is God so compassionate?
I think the answer is given in verse 13 and 14.
Let's read this verse one more time.
1, 2, 3.
Remember, in the Old Testament, there are only 11 times the word Father is being used to address God.
And this is one of the 11.
He said that our Father has compassion on His children, referring back to God.
God has compassion for His children, for those who fear Him. That means those who are His legitimate children.
And there are many reasons why God has compassion for us.
And one of the reasons here is stated here.
Because he said the word for, that means because.
Why is God compassionate for us?
Because he knows that we are formed and he remembers that we are dust.
You see, God created us.
He knows us intimately.
How he formed us.
He remembers that we are dust.
What comes to your mind when you think about dust?
Something is light, something is insignificant.
Something is lowly, frail, of not much value.
This is what dust is.
Such a connotation.
I think he gives us a picture of a loving father dealing with his tired and struggling children.
He does not demand more from them than they can perform.
But with compassion, he takes into account their weaknesses.
He measures his expectation according to his wisdom and love.
And many a time when we fall back to sin and temptation, we dare not come before the Father.
For fear of his rejection, for fear of his condemnation.
But over here he says that he's just like a father who sees us like dust.
Who is so frail and takes pity for us.
The word compassion, another translation for compassion is pity.
He pities our ignorance.
He pities our helplessness.
He pities our fallenness.
He pities your tiredness.
You may fall asleep right now while listening.
He pities all these things.
He pities our struggle with sin.
Just precisely of this dusty nature of us.
He took pity of us.
Just like a father looking at a helpless baby.
You struggle to defend himself.
The father just takes pity of the baby.
But when we talk about
compassion. The Lord have compassion for his children. The Father have compassion for his children. Sometimes we do not want to miss out. Other than this aspect of compassion, there is also anger from God. There is also anger from God. But in this fallen world, we sometimes fall to either extreme. We think that our Father is so compassionate that he never get angry with us. This is one extreme. Or the other extreme is that God is always so angry with us that he's like a judge waiting to smite us when we make a mistake. So this is often the pendulum that we keep swinging from one extreme to the other extreme. But let's see what the Bible says, a God with compassion also with anger. Okay, verse 8 and verse 9. Let's read this verse together. 1, 2, 3. Okay, you see there are two words repeated. Anger. The Lord is slow to anger. That means he can become angry. Okay? God can become angry. But his anger is a slow anger and also a controlled anger. And the verse below explains that his anger is only temporary. His compassion is permanent. For his love is as high as the heavens above the earth. It is such a kind of anger driven by compassion. It is an anger driven by compassion. Let's read this verse Psalm 30 together. 1, 2, 3. You see the contrast? Anger only for a moment. By his grace, his love is for a lifetime. So God gets angry, but it's just only for a moment. There are two kinds of parents which may destroy a child. Two extreme kinds of parents may destroy a child. One kind of parent is a permissive parent. What is a permissive parent? That means the parents are so detached from the child's life. He never gets angry. He never set rules and boundaries. He never confront. He never engage. And that's very easy. Just do what you want. That's kind of parent. Do what you want. Okay. Never get involved. If you get yourself detached from someone, you will not get angry. Because who cares? It's a kind of attitude. It's not my business. Another kind of parents is the extreme of permissive parent. It's abusive parent. Parent that will always accuse, always harbor anger, always punishes with the payback anger. Grace is never found in the dictionary of the parents. The parents always intolerant of any mistake made by the child. So the abusive parent will say what? You will surely get it. You will not run away from this. You surely get it. So either both abusive and neglecting parents destroy a child. Therefore, either payback anger or no anger at all means that the child is not loved. Listen again. Either a payback anger or no anger means that the child is not loved. If you love, you will get angry. You see, the more a father loves a child, the more the father hates in the child the drunkenness, the lie, the indulgent lifestyle. Let me repeat again, the more a father loves a child, the more he hates in the child the drunkenness, the lying tongue, the indulgent lifestyle. If God is not angry over how we are destroying our lives, He will not be good. He will not be loving. The opposite of love is not anger. The opposite of love is indifference. It is easy to be indifferent. I just keep a distance. I just don't care. I will not get angry. Neither will I love the person. So either no love or anger or payback anger is not from the Lord. Therefore the anger of God is out of love. The anger of God is out of love to discipline children. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3.
Thank you.
You see, a father who disciplined us over there, he said that we respected them.
He gained respect when a father disciplined
because it showed that the father cared enough to discipline, to confront the error of the children.
But we have assurance even when our Heavenly Father disciplined us.
We have the assurance because what?
Let's read this verse together.
Okay, verse 10. 1, 2, 3.
You see, even God disciplined us.
Even if our Heavenly discipline us, He still does not treat our sin deserve.
You still don't deserve.
So-called punishment, quote-unquote, the punishment or the discipline.
We deserve more than the discipline of God.
This is the hell we deserve, the eternal hell separation from God.
So do you see the compassion of the Father who is well balanced between love and anger?
Love and anger.
Do you have such a father who has such compassion and anger for you?
Second point, I want to talk about the affirming word of our Father.
The affirming word of the Father.
As I share, one of my struggles with my walk with the Lord
is relating to God when I am very down.
I could relate to God in my normal days of my life when things are doing fine.
But when I'm really down, when I'm really beaten, when I'm really discouraged, disheartened,
I really struggle to come before God.
I'm not sure about you. Each of us are very different. But this is really my struggle.
The reason why I struggle to come before God. Because I could not stand the silence of God.
When I pour my heart to God, I could not stand the silence of God.
Why?
The silence of God reminds me of my dad's silence.
When I was in my early 20s, when I was serving on campus for Christ,
we stayed in hostels on weekdays, and we go back home to our parents.
And there was a time I had a very heated argument with my mom.
So bad that I left home for months. I didn't go back to my parents' home for months over the weekend.
My dad knew about this thing.
But he said nothing.
Actually, in my heart, I'm shouting.
I'm telling Dad, what do you think about this conflict?
What is your stand?
What is your advice?
What should I do?
And what are you going to do about it as a father in the family?
Nothing.
My dad said nothing.
Of course, these are just my shout in my heart.
My dad didn't hear all this thing.
But he remains silent as usual.
Maybe he dare not confront.
I think maybe he's too scared of my mom.
My mom is very strong, domineering.
Maybe my dad doesn't know what to do.
I think a very great disappointment sings to my heart.
The question I ask is, Dad, can you speak up?
I'm very disappointed in my dad. Dad, can you speak up?
So whenever I'm down, I'm very troubled inside. And this is one of the voices come back to me.
What's the point of coming to God and all my grievances to Him?
God, will you speak up for me?
I think everybody knows that God speaks to us through the Bible, through circumstances, through people.
But at times when I'm very low, when I'm very vulnerable,
such thoughts and intentions really grip my heart.
The silence of God is something that I cannot stand during that moment or period.
There was a longing in my heart to hear my dad speak out, to hear from his affirmation.
Just like what I mentioned earlier, that I hope my dad to come to witness my first preaching in church to give me affirmation.
And there was a time when I came upon this verse.
I think you're familiar with this verse.
As I read this verse,
he said, when Jesus came to be baptized,
and we know the story that he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him,
and the voice from heaven said,
This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.
This is the voice I'm longing to hear from my dad.
To affirm me.
This is my Son.
I'm proud of him. Whom I am well pleased.
There is a struggle to hear from my dad.
To affirm me verbally.
This is my son, whom I love.
In him I'm well pleased.
If you know this story, it took place before Jesus started his ministry,
after his 40 days fast and prayer. This is happened in Matthew chapter 3. You know that this thing happened even before Jesus walked on water, even before he fed the 5,000. Jesus has done nothing yet recorded in the Bible at this moment of time. But the Heavenly Father simply declared that he is love, Jesus is love, and he is well pleased. That means that Jesus doesn't have to perform any miracle. Jesus doesn't have to do anything to earn the love of the Heavenly Father. I am a father right now. I have three kids, and I see the importance of a father affirming the children. And that is where they draw their strength and significance from. I'm also learning as a father. But as an Asian father, and also as a man, we men are very clumsy with our words. It's easy when I caught my wife and use all these lovely words. But once you got married, you feel so clumsy, you feel so rusty. So whatever JV's use is the grace right now. Please carry on and make it a well practice. Even if next time you got children, do that to your children also. Right now we have family because we are all believers. We build a culture, a tradition of family, we call that family time. I read from the book called How to be a Hero to Your Kid. In Chinese, it's called Lei 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 Lei
time together, once a week on Sunday. Other than finishing reading the Bible, affirm each other verbally. One by one, from the youngest to the oldest, we also allow the children to affirm us. I'm going to show you a short video clip how we did that 5 years ago when my children are young. I want you to observe the facial expression of children when we parents affirm them. Let's play the video. Not this video. The video is a 家庭聚会。
大姐姐在上课，弟。
You see the power of affirmation, the power of words. As parents, when we affirm all children, this is where they draw strength and significance. I think as We are all children here. We probably have not many parents here. I think this is something I want my family to pass on to the next time that the family tradition keeps the affirmation of dad and mom is important. I think each of us here as children, there is a special hole in us that only your mom and dad can feel. If you try to feel that with a boyfriend, with Any other things, I think it's not possible. And because God made your heart so special that this special place is only given where your mom and dad can feel. And most of us here, I'm not sure. Probably for me also, we have not heard from your dad affirming you ever before. Your dad had never affirmed you before. Your dad is probably very passive. That when you needed him the most, he's not there to listen to you or affirm you verbally. Probably some of us have an abusive father who never tells you that you are loved, who always punishes you. And your memory of your father is very distant, emotionally cold and harsh. And as a result, you see Heavenly Father also as distant, emotionally disengaged from you. Probably you never have a father to hug you before and tell you that you are loved and well pleased with you. And therefore, to you, God is probably just a judge. He's only interested for your service. That he's not showing the kind of love to you. You know what Jesus says in the Bible, that I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Jesus made it possible for us to come to our Heavenly Father. Because he died for you and for your dad on the cross. And you can now freely approach the throne of grace and mercy and call him Heavenly Father because of what Jesus did on the cross. I think I want to invite the worship team right now to sing this song. And I want to end off with this verse. Let's have the worship team out here. I'm going to use the next verse.
Okay, let's read this verse together.
Okay, one, two, three. We're going to sing this song. And as we sing this song, I want you to come before the Heavenly Father and meditate on this verse. I will be a father to you. Many of us do not have a father that is lovely. Many of us do not have a father that is not affirming. Most of the time, our father is probably absent, or either he's passive, or he can be very abusive. Or probably he's only interested in our performance. We don't have a perfect father on this earth. But we have a perfect heavenly father up there. Allow him to be your father. Let's sing this song together so you would come.
Precious is His love. I'd like to invite you, anyone of you who would like to come before the throne of great mercy and grace. Some of us who have the hole in your heart that your father has not been able to view you. And somehow you rather affected your view of God. Am I loved? Are you well pleased with me? Am I doing the right thing? Am I beautiful in your eyes? Am I good enough? You have never heard that from your earthly father. And right now, let your heavenly father fill the void. Let the heavenly father speak this to you. The words say, I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughter. I open this time to any one of you to come before the altar. And let the Heavenly Father feel the void that probably your mom and dad have not been able to do. Come freely right now before this altar. Let's stand. And if you are willing to come before the altar to receive the Heavenly Father's love, to feel your heart, feel free to come. Let's sing this song. And let the Father move your heart to come before the word begins. Our Heavenly Father is extending arms for you right now. Are you willing to come forward to receive the love? Come to the Father. Pray for those who come forward. The altar is open, and we are willing to come forward. Nothing you can do to make God love the more. And nothing you have done to make Him close the door. Because of grace, because of His Holy Son, He has done everything for you. So you would come. Would you come right now? And let the Heavenly Father heal the wounds in your heart. And let His love heal your heart. Before the world begins.
before the world began, you were on his mind.
Before the world began, you were on his mind. And everything you learn is precious to his eyes. Because of his great love, he gave his only son.
Nothing you could do to make love more.
We just
come freely on the world. Only can receive. Can do nothing to make him close the door.
Because of his love, he gave his only son.
Come to the Father.
As a result, we find it hard to call our heart to God. But Lord, you say that you're willing to be our Father again. Today we respond back to you.
Yes, Lord, we are willing to be your child.
Renew in us this love.
Feel our heart again, this heavenly Father's love.
We know that our Father is so far away from your perfection.
The Lord have mercy to our Father.
They too probably have a missing Father's figure in their life.
It just keeps playing from generation down to generation.
Therefore, we ask for healing love to seal our heart with the love of Christ.
We thank you for loving us.
We come before your broken hearts, broken lives.
And you take them all.
We thank you.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.